for service. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Got a note from Glenn on Friday, and I think it took me like maybe 3 seconds to respond to his text. Yes, I'll do it. I love to preach. I've been preaching here and there for a number of years over the past 10 years. Before that, I spent 10 years preaching at the Flint Hill Church of Christ in Bessemer, Alabama. That's where I met Stephen Trammell. His family was members at that church for many years. So kind of connected with him. We've been friends for years, and that's kind of how we ended up at a Mountain View church. But out of notice, I got more with my trouble is which one to pray. The one this morning is going to be helpful. I hope that it is. It's a story in Matthew 15, beginning of verse 21, that has just always impressed me. James, I think it was, maybe, that did the scripture reading. Steve called me yesterday and said, what's the scripture reading? He was like, I want something to go with the sermon. I was like, I don't know what I'm preaching yet. I don't have any idea. I was like, why don't you read Deuteronomy chapter 8? Because it's just a great chapter. So we're not going to tie that into the lesson probably at all. But again, I think that I love that text there, and I do think there's a handful of chapters in Deuteronomy that I think are great chapters. All right, I want to talk this morning about, oh, that was already up there. Cool. Now, being sensitive is a thing, right? Like, it's not good if you're just hard-hearted or stubborn or will not listen to people, right? The teaches us. The old King James used the language, use stiff-necked people, right? And that's not a complimentary thing, right? So we need people that are humble and have a kind heart and are soft-hearted. But there is a danger in being that's what we see in Matthew chapter 15 in the story with this Canaanite woman, a Phoenician woman. We see someone who succumbed to the danger of sensitive. Because if you're sensitive, your way, you crumble into dust, and you're not worth anything to anyone. And that's what we see with this woman. And so I'd like us to read some verses here. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. The text says in Matthew 15, verse 21, Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. A woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down. "Help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Well, what a story. First of all, we have this woman, and she has a child that is suffering. The text says that she comes to Jesus, says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." It's a cruel thing that my daughter is having to suffer. And I'll tell you what, like, nothing is more powerful than a woman with a suffering child. My wife is kind and soft-spoken, tender and loving, and she's a lover, not a fighter. What can I say? But if you threaten one of her children, watch out, okay? And I also want to say this real quickly. This account says that this daughter was a little child. I say that because I think it's 87% of all teenagers are all demon-possessed. So this was not a teenager. I think Lydia and Ruth may be exceptions to that. But This was a small child. And there's something about when a small child is suffering that they're so innocent. They're so helpless. And my point is, this woman is motivated because of this reality, because of the love that she has for her daughter, the innocence, the degree to which her suffering is so painful and cruel and difficult. Like, she is laser focused on Jesus. And it doesn't matter what she faces on her way to a blessing. She's come to get a blessing. And what does she face? Well, the first thing that the text says in Matthew 15:23 is that this woman, the text says that he did not answer her a word. So, you know, you can imagine, like, coming up, hey, can I borrow $5? Well, maybe he didn't hear me. Can I borrow $5? Right? And someone just onto you. Like, generally being ignored. I mean, like, try that in your marriage, right? See how that goes. Kids, try that. Try that when your mom is to do something. Like, don't respond. Ignore what they're saying. Don't answer them. It's like, what do we dads say? I'm talking to you, right? And right off the bat, this woman is greeted with this challenge of not even being acknowledged. And you know, I know thinking about, and it's important for us to acknowledge one another in the assembly. It's important for us to acknowledge one another. When I come to work, it's important for me to acknowledge my family when I come home or for them, right? That's just kind of common courtesy. And I remember when I was a kid growing up, at the church, we grew up in Tampa, Florida. Fletcher Avenue Church of Christ is one of the churches, a number of different churches there, lived 5 minutes from Florida College. But I just remember my mom at times struggling with this idea of being ignored. So we'd get in the car on Wednesday night and mom would be like, well, that sister didn't speak to me. It's like, well, mom, did you speak to her? Right? I was like in high school, so I mean, I had the answer to everything probably, and I probably didn't say what I was thinking, hopefully, but we can get our feelings hurt about whether or not someone spoke to us, and we need to speak to them. They don't know what I've been through today. Well, do you know what they've been through today? Right? My day was brutal. Maybe their day was brutal. Maybe, believe it or not, someone could have had a worse day than you. Not just as bad as, like, it could have been worse. And for us to just have that spirit to look past our own nose, right? And like, I don't know, like, I joke around, like, in high school class or some kids class, I'd be like, guys, look up, and like, if you try to look past your nose, there's a whole world out there of people that need help, that need encouragement, that need kindness, that need a helping hand, right? And of course, Jesus is absolutely not Jesus. What was his whole purpose was to come, right? Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for me. That's the whole reason he came, is to help. But I think he gives us this story and he interacts with this woman in this special way to say, you know what? You can't be so sensitive that you turn around and go in the other direction because of some of these challenges. So if someone, you know, if someone ignores you, you can't say, well, I'm not going to that church. Those people didn't talk to me. Well, fine, right? Like, you just can't be that sensitive. And certainly for us here at church, we want to be friendly, right? We don't want to ignore people, right? Okay. And that's absolutely a counterpoint. But what a beautiful spirit. Cause this woman's just not daunted, right? And if you're reading the text and you see the next phrase, it says in verse 23, but Jesus did not answer a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. There's obviously some persistence on her part. She keeps shouting at us. She's persistent. So she's still saying, Jesus, I need help. Jesus, I need help. Jesus, I need help. I know you're not listening to me, Jesus, but guess what? I need help. And the disciples are becoming somewhat exasperated by that. And he's like, Jesus, please. I mean, like, if there is an ordinance on the books in Jerusalem or Jericho or Samaria, whatever city, I'm sorry. Why am I saying that? We know that they're outside of Israel, right, in the region of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus had gone north and west, right, outside of the Israel proper. But if there was an ordinance on the books in Tyre and Sidon of disturbing the peace or noise pollution, this woman has broken that ordinance and Jesus just send her away. And so their attempts to resolve this matter is, Jesus, like, she's got to go. Just, if you tell her, like, they probably had been telling her, like, look, can you leave Jesus alone? And like, well, she's obviously not listening to them. Jesus, can you help out? She's got to go. And you think about the disciples and think about what it would have been like if you were that woman. That would have been tough, right? Like, if you are at a place and you know people don't want you, how do we generally respond to that? Well, I know when I'm not wanted, right? I'm going to go somewhere else. And obviously that's not her thing, but one thing that I want to say, and I think it's an important thing, it's something that helps me in my walk with Christ a lot, is to not be surprised by discouraging disciples. Like, when you think about, like, the source of the discouragement, if you've been a Christian more than 30 minutes, if you've been a Christian less than 30 minutes, you can kind of tune out on that. But if you've been a Christian for more than 30 minutes, what do you think the source of a lot of the discouragement that you have to deal with throughout your walk in Christ? It's a lot of times, or it's church, or maybe it's even in your family, like you struggle in your marriage, you struggle with different interactions, maybe in your extended family, but they're Christians. That's just reality a lot of times. It's not a pretty reality, but it's a reality. And it's what we see when we open up the pages of comes and he calls these disciples and apostles to minister to him and with him and for him. And they're just flawed individuals that make a mess a lot. So quickly here, I want to say, and we'll look at a couple of these passages, like, don't be surprised. I was thinking about an example recently at the Mountain View Church with a brother there, and he did something that was discouraging to me, and guess what? I'm not going to get bent out of shape over it. I'm not going to crumble into dust over it. I'm not even surprised by it. It's kind of like I expected, and if I expect it, it's like, all right, brother, fine, that's great. Yeah, no problem, right? And when I see him, I'll be like, how you doing today? Good, okay, great. You know, like, if we have that mindset, that expectation, we're not disappointed and we're not derailed when it happens. But these disciples here are like, send this woman away. And then look at this, the stranger working miracles. We go over to Mark chapter 9. This is so, I mean, to me, it's funny. Mark chapter 9, 38. John said to Jesus, teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, good job. Keep discouraging this guy, right? No, that's not what Jesus says. In verse 39, it says, but Jesus said, do not hinder him. There is no one who perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For he is not against us, is for us. We'll just stop there. So, you know, John comes up to Jesus and is like, look, we saw someone who were casting out demons in your name. He's like, don't worry, Jesus. We get this taken care of. We stopped him, or we did our best to prevent him. Now imagine you're this guy and you're like, I cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ, and you're on the team of Jesus. Like, you've got a little t-shirt that says Team Jesus, and you show that, hey, I'm the team as you guys. And John comes and is like, I don't care. Like you're not a part. You didn't meet with us at the Roswell Church of Christ last Sunday, so guess what? You're not on our team. Right? And if, imagine if you're this guy and you're trying to do Jesus' work and you're like, wow, that's weird. Like, I think Jesus probably would support what I'm doing, but obviously you don't. Like you're walking away thinking that you're trying to, like, add that up. Like, it would be weird. Like, I mean, I hope he had some kind of a vision or some kind of reassurance from God. You know, Jesus certainly, when he's talking to John, says, do not hinder him. But it would have been tough, right, if you're that guy. It's like, well, this Apostle John, right? This is one of the ministers of Jesus. And there's a number of examples like this. Matthew chapter 19, if you go just a couple overs from Matthew 15, and you look at verse 13. Then some children came to Jesus, so that he might lay his hand on them. The disciples rebuked them. You know, so much for the red carpet, right? But Jesus said, let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And after laying his hands on them, he departed from them. Like, Jesus is like, stop. But what would it have been like if you were the parents of these children, or if you were one of some of these children, you heard this, and the disciples were like, no, stop. Guys, get out of here. This is Jesus. Jesus doesn't have time for you. Like, if you were the parents or you were children, you'd been like, what is even happening? You know, so let's not be surprised by it. Now, let's also do our dead level best, knowing that it's so common. Let's be honest and realize it could happen to me. Like, I could be that discouraging disciple. Let's make a effort not to do that. There's a story about a guy that went to the pharmacy, and he went up to the pharmacist and he said, pharmacist, do you have anything for the hip? And the pharmacist just reached back and just smacked him. The guy's like, he was like, what was that for? And he was like, well, you don't have the hiccups anymore, do you? The guy was like, no, but my wife does, and she's out in the car. And the idea that we're guilty of sometimes, and we should, shame on us, right? Like, the disciples are smacking this woman. The disciples are smacking the stranger working miracles. The disciples are smacking the parents of these children who are bringing them to Jesus. And each time Jesus is like, no, this is not how things are supposed to be. So let's be careful. If we think someone deserves to be smacked or someone deserves to be rebuked, let's make sure that they really do deserve that, that really is the proper course of action. And if it is, not get good at our duck skills, right? But if someone is quick to pull the trigger, don't be surprised by that. Right? Just know that that's part of service to Christ, right? I mean, Christ himself is leading us in this thoughts in the Lord's Supper, and we meditate on Christ. Like, that is 100% of everything that his life culminated in, is just getting completely used and abused, tortured, tormented, like painfully murdered, right? Like, to the nth degree, the highest degree. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us. We won't spend a time on all this, but the woman, expensive perfume, 26. This is another example. If you go to Mark's account of this, Mark uses the same language where he's like, leave her alone. Like, do not bother her. And then the Samaritans, this one's kind of funny because, and we won't go read all that, but James and John, they're going and they're preparing the way for Jesus, and he's on the way to Jerusalem, and the Samaritan's like, well, we don't want Jesus, he's going to Jerusalem. And the Samaritans, obviously there was an issue there with Jerusalem being the chosen place of worship, right? We see that in John 4 and other places, kind of the history of the Old Testament. But what do James and John say to Jesus? They're like, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? Right? We don't know that the Samaritans heard that, but what's in there is just the, you do not know what spirit you are of. Like trigger. It's a no-go, right? And is clear in that text, like, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. But all this kind of in the middle of this textual sermon in Matthew 15 to say, don't be surprised by discouraging disciples, and don't be one, please! Right? And when you are one, like, be honest when you look in the mirror and see that and stop it. And then be willing to, and I'm just like, be willing to say, I'm sorry. Did you guys ever watch Happy Days? You remember the Fonzarelli? Henry Winkler? Like, that episode where he was supposed to apologize, he's like, Like, he couldn't say, I'm sorry. Like, he was too good, like, too perfect. Let's not be that, right? Like, it's hard, but it's not that hard. That same brother I was telling you about at Mountain View, we had a little something 2 or 3 months ago, and I went up to him and said, I'm sorry. And tried to make peace with him. And there are hard words to say, but you gotta do it. Alright, let's get back to this lesson. So what about this woman here? Number one, she's ignored. Number two, the disciples have attempted to run her off. Number three, look at what Jesus says in verse 24 back in Matthew 15. He says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Like, if you're the woman and you hear that, it's like, wow. Wow. Like, it sounds like I'm not the right race. Like, I'm not in the right group of people to be the recipient of your blessing. Now, look, we know Jesus is not racist. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Probably everyone here could quote that. And you could also probably quote Romans 1:16, right? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. But it was to the Jew first, right? And God's plan was for Jesus to come do his ministry as a Jew and to the Jewish nation. But if you, and we understand that, right? And it's like I love the old, Vacation Bible School song, right? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And notice it didn't say teenagers, but sorry, I've got four teenagers, so I've got a little bit of burr in my saddle. Red and yellow, black and white, it doesn't matter, right? Jesus loves everyone. But if you're this woman and you heard this, what'd you think? And in our society today, racism is a very sensitive thing, and we need to be sensitive to that sensitivity and just make sure we do all that we can to let people know, like, I don't care about anything about the color of your skin. I love you as a fellow human being. That should be our spirit and our mindset and our attitude. For this woman, she could have easily been like, well, that's a racist comment, Jesus. See you later. Right? And she could have just rolled on. And when there are times when someone is somewhat racist, praise God for people that have the spirit to say, you know what, that was racist, that was rude, that was mean, that was hateful, whatever it is. But Jesus is still the answer, right? And that's the point of the lesson this morning. It's like, it doesn't matter, it shouldn't matter. If you're not overly sensitive, like if you're just focused on Jesus, like you can just get pummeled, right? Rocky Balboa and Rocky One getting pummeled by Apollo Creed, right? Like you could just get pummeled and you just still know Jesus is the answer. Certainly Jesus was not racist, but his statement here for her is, I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've been sent to the Hebrews. I've been sent to the Jews, not you. And that's still it. Now Jesus knows what he's doing and we see that, but everything that happens just highlights how awesome this woman is. So, in verse 25, when Jesus says this, she came and began to bow down. She's not going in the other direction. She's like, I think this just means I need to ratchet it up a little bit more. And she bows down before him and says what? Lord, help me. Man, I love that prayer. You know, we have prayers in our assemblies and they're, you know, good prayers. They're fine prayers. I've never heard anyone be like, Lord, help us. Now, we wouldn't feel okay stopping there anyways. We would at least need to say, in Jesus' name, amen. And that's right and appropriate. I don't mean to belittle that. But we couldn't say a three-word prayer. It'd have to be like six. But I've never heard anyone say a six-word prayer here. Or not. And any public assembly, I don't mean here. It's like, but praise God for this woman. It's just like, this is what needs to be said, right? Lord, help me. And if we could get out that three-word prayer, it's the same thing a couple chapters before it's just the previous chapter, Matthew 14, verse 30. When Peter is walking on the water and he starts to sink, what does he say? Dear Lord, I thank you so much for bringing me here today. I appreciate the opportunity to worship you. No, he says, Lord, save me! Right? It's all he's got time for before he goes underwater in the Sea of Galilee. What a prayer. And the beauty of that prayer is kind of the beauty of this prayer is the text says in Matthew 14 that immediately Jesus reached out his hand. That's the spirit of Jesus. When the prayer is short, sweet, and fervent and specific. So she just like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Someone can ignore me. Someone can try to run me off. Someone may not want me around. Someone can even say something, you know, that could easily be interpreted as racial. But my point is, Jesus is the answer. So I'm going to come bow down for him and say, Lord, help me.
And then the text says in verse 26, and he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.
I was like, what? It's like, Jesus, come on. We could do some HR lessons, like some public relations. Let's have a seminar for you, Jesus, because this time out, this is a no-no. You've insulted this woman, right? Or, I'm asking you, was she? Like, if you're the woman, say children's bread. My IQ. Hi, I'm not that smart, but I think I've just been called a dog, right? That's how you could interpret that easily, right? I mean, they're in the text. And how do we respond when we feel insulted? Well, if I'm a dog, at least I'm not a skunk. Woo! Right? Like someone may not even smell, and we're just like, well, at least. Retaliatory remark oftentimes is right there on our lips. And it's just not true for this woman. Like, here's the thing. If you view yourself as a first-class citizen and someone treats you like a second-class citizen, how are you going to respond to that? Well, this is a preposterous, right? But if you view yourself as a second-class citizen and you're humble, I'm not saying there is such a thing as a second-class citizen, but if you viewed yourself as that, and someone treated you as a second-class citizen, then how would you respond? Well, they're just treating me how I should be treated, according to my station. What if you viewed yourself as a third-class citizen, like the bottom of the bottom, and someone treated you like a second-class citizen? You'd be like, well, that's pretty good. Thank you. Right? And that's who this woman was. Like, she just viewed herself so far down here. Like, does she seem to miss a beat? Does she seem to miss a beat when she responds in verse 27 and says, yes, Lord. Yeah, no, Jesus, you're right. That is who I am. I am a dog. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Like, if I was Jesus, I'd have been like, wow. And then that's kind of what he says, and we'll highlight that in just a minute. But she does not even miss a beat when she's insulted. And you know, I've already read the text here in Matthew 15:28, but I want you to see one reality. Like all that she's been through, she's been ignored, the disciples tried to run her off. There's this comment that could be interpreted as somewhat racial. And if you go over to Mark 7, I want you to see this. In Mark 7, verse 28, it's the verse that we just read, but you gotta, I hear a couple pages through, so thank you, cause you need to just, you're gonna. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. And then look at what Jesus says in verse 29. And he said to her, because of this answer, go, the demon has gone out of your daughter. Like, those specific words that came out of her mouth, when Jesus said, you know, can't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, she said, amen, Jesus. Like, sorry, I didn't mean the right there. But, I am a dog, is what she said. I'm a dog. And I just need a couple of crumbs. And Jesus says, because of this answer. Like, she had taken all the blows, she'd just been pummeled, she'd been mistreated. At least you could argue that if you were in her shoes, how you would interpret everything that you had received, and doesn't miss a beat, just keeps taking it, keeps coming back. And then Jesus says, because of this answer. And when we come to Jesus and we come into the church house, or we come together as a church, we worked as in serving God in our families, or we go into our workplaces in corporate America or blue collar America or wherever it is that we work, if we always just have the spirit, like, I'm really just like a dog eating crumbs from the master's table, we're going to have expectations that are totally different. And it doesn't matter how we get treated, we're going to be positive,
we're going to come back to Jesus, and we're not going to be so sensitive that we get offended so easily that we crumble into dust and we're not worth anything, and we're negative, and we've got our little flask. You know, people used to have a flask and they would drink like some whiskey or something. Sometimes I think Christians have a flask, and I don't know if it's, I still haven't figured out if it's lemon juice or dill pickle juice, but they're drinking something that makes their attitude somewhat sour. And may God help us to pour that out, right? And just be like this woman and just be positive no matter what, right? I don't mean there's not a time to, you know, to have some righteous indignation or some anger, or there's not issues that need, absolutely. But just your day in, day out attitude and mindset, we need to be like this woman. This woman was definitely not overly sensitive, and this woman was blessed. And so as we close the lesson this morning, the question is, what about you? Are you overly sensitive? Now be careful, you need to be careful about a lesson like this, because you'd be like, well, those people, there's a lot of people I know that really need this lesson because they're quite sensitive and, you know, they really could benefit. Be careful. Like, it's for all of us. Because not only will it help us if we're not overly sensitive, it'll help us if we think someone else is overly sensitive, for us not to judge them. That might be us being overly sensitive. Right? And I remember this guy, he used to always, when he'd walk out after the preacher preached every Sunday, the preacher would be like, you know, hey, good to see you today, brother. And he'd be like, man, the church really needed that lesson. He would say that every Sunday. The church was like, I'm going to preach a whole sermon on applying this sermon to yourself so that when this guy comes out, he won't say they needed that one. So he walks out of the sermon that day, and he's expecting him, you know, to finally have connected. He was like, good sermon, preacher. They really, really, really needed that one. And it's just so easy, right? But we got to help us see how it's me, like, see how I need, like, how Todd needs to be better and more like this woman and apply it to me. And if all of us can do that, man, it's going to be a better... The world's going to be a better place. The church's going to be a better place. I'm going to be a better husband. My wife's going to be a better wife. We're going to be better parents. Our kids are going to be better kids, even if they're teenagers. It's all just going to be better if we have that attitude. May God help us to avoid the danger of being too sensitive and giving up too easily, even when things are difficult. Appreciate your attention this morning. If there's anyone that's subject to the invitation, we'd like to encourage you to make it right with the Lord. We'd love to study with you what the Word of God says you need to do to become a Christian, or to continue in your service to Christ. If you have some need, let us know, but come forward now while we stand and sing.